Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. This is the Common English Bible translation. Then John said to the crowds who came to be baptized by him, "You children of snakes, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? Produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives. And don't even think about saying to yourselves, 'Abraham is our father.' I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire." The crowds asked him, "Then what should we do?" He answered, "Whoever has two shirts must share with one who has none, and whoever has food must do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. They said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He replied, "Collect more, no more than you are authorized to collect." Soldiers asked, "What about us? What should we do?" He answered, "Don't cheat or harass anyone, and be satisfied with your pay." The people were filled with expectation, and everyone wondered whether John might be the Christ. John replied to them all, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than me is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn. He will burn the husks with a fire that cannot be put out." With many other words, John appealed to them, proclaiming good news to the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Many of you are familiar with this scene, and imagine it with me. If you've seen these movies, you will have no problem imagining this. You're sitting in a theater, and you're so excited, and the screen is black. It's dark in the theater, and there's no sound except maybe just the anticipation is almost... you can almost hear it in people because they're vibrating, they're so excited. And then all of a sudden, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, written in blue against the blackness of space, these words pop up at the beginning of every Star Wars movie ever, signifying that we are about to see and hear a story that transcends time and space. They first appeared in 1977 when the original Star Wars A New Hope film hit the screen, followed by The Empire Strikes Back and The Return of the Jedi. In 1999, a set of three prequels, that is, the movies that come in the series before the one's first release. I don't know why they did it, other than maybe creative interest, but they released the prequels in 1999, and then in 2015, after a long, long, long wait, the first of the three sequels was released, The Force Awakens. It promised to be one of the monster films of the Christmas season from 6 years ago. Set 30 years after the events of The Return of the Jedi, this movie featured some fresh characters right alongside the heroes of previous Star Wars installments. Heroes like Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and Princess Leia. We were also treated to stormtroopers and X-wing fighters and R2-D2 and C-3PO and lightsabers and Chewbacca. And of course, we experienced the Force, a power defined by Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi as an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us and penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together. The Force has a light side and a dark side, and can be used for good and for evil. The Force is strong in my family, said Luke Skywalker. My father has it. I have it. My sister has it. You have that power too. But an even stronger force appears when John the Baptist preaches to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him in the River Jordan. You brood of vipers, he shouts, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He describes the people as poisonous snakes quickly slithering away to escape the danger of a fire. The only way for them to avoid condemnation is to change their behavior and to, quote, bear fruits worthy of repentance. John wants them to focus on the light side of the Force and use it for good instead of evil. Such a message fits the world of Star Wars because it reminds us that the greatest evil is the evil that comes from within, not the evil that attacks us from outside. A fan of Star Wars named Bill Reedway was quoted in an article about the release of the film that, quote, any one of us, even the best of us, can give in to fear, anger, and hatred if we're not vigilant. Those are powerful emotions that can blur our senses and cause us to lose sight of what true goodness is. The crowds who gather by the River Jordan find their security in having Abraham as their ancestor. But John reminds them that God can raise up children to Abraham out of the abundant stones of the desert floor, we read in verse 8. Goodness doesn't come from being a branch on Abraham's tree, you see. Instead, goodness comes from doing good. John challenges the people to be trees that bear good fruit, we read in verse 9. He wants them to avoid the fate of Darth Vader, who fell from grace because he forgot that goodness is expressed only through our love for others. Goodness is only expressed through our love for others. Vader wasn't always this way. He started out as Anakin Skywalker, a generous, loyal, compassionate little boy, so powerful in the Force that many thought that he was possibly the chosen one of ancient sci-fi prophecy. Anakin used the Force to do good, to do great good as he grew up, fighting for peace and justice while protecting the innocent and opposing the wicked. But Anakin lost his way, said Reedway. Over time, he became so obsessed with his own passions and fears that they ended up taking over what made him truly human, his empathy and concern for others. Anakin stopped caring about individuals, says Reedway. He thought of himself as the wisest, the strongest, the purest. And finally, he allowed his own ambitions to justify terrible, truly terrible actions against others. Anakin always saw himself as the good guy. But in the end, he failed to bear good fruit. Through his actions, he became the evil Darth Vader and was himself cut down and thrown into the fire. The crowds around John wanted to avoid this fate, so they asked, "What then should we do?" Such a question is as important today as it was for those who were living in the first century. John says that whoever has two shirts must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Tax collectors should collect no more than the proper amount, and soldiers should resist the temptation to extort money from people. Keep your empathy alive, recommends John. Behave in ways that are fair, just, and focused on caring about needy individuals. Being good comes from doing good, not just thinking of yourself as the good guy. When John's force awakens in us, we're challenged to channel it into concrete actions of justice and care and compassion. But at the very same time, we cannot trust ourselves to remain in the light of God at all times. Each of us is a sinful, fallible human being, as susceptible to sin as was Anakin Skywalker on the path to becoming Darth Vader. Each of us needs a powerful and godly leader to keep us on the right track and to save us when we stray. The leader that is called the Messiah, we read in verse 15. John knows that he cannot play this role himself. And he says, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John points us toward Jesus the Messiah, reminding us that Jesus offers a baptism that includes the purifying and inspiring power of the Holy Spirit. Each of us is to be filled with the Spirit if we are going to follow Jesus and act as his disciples in this world. We cannot consistently bear good fruit with human effort alone, but we require a power greater than ourselves. Luke Skywalker realizes this when he suffers in an earlier Star Wars film, a monumental shock to his system. He discovers that Darth Vader is his father.
"Luke, I am your father."
Okay, so I'm no James Earl Jones. I don't have that deep, booming voice. But that is a moment you never forget if you've seen those movies. And Luke Skywalker's response, "No! You're lying!" He's telling the truth, though. He sees that he is cut from the same cloth as his father, and he struggles with how on earth it can possibly be that how good and evil can exist in the very same family. This is why he says in the new film, "The Force is strong in my family. My father has it. I have it. My sister has it." Luke is counseled by his mentors that the only way to defeat Darth Vader is to confront and destroy him. But what Luke does is different. Instead of relying on violence to defeat violence, observed Bill Reedway, Luke reacts with compassion for Vader. He responds with love, not an abstract or ceremonial love, but a concrete, self-sacrificial love for the human being that Darth Vader is, even with all of his faults. At this point in the Star Wars series, Luke Skywalker becomes Christ-like, and the Force becomes just like a truly Christian power. Like Jesus, Luke cared more about real people than he did about the abstract ideals. Just like Jesus, Luke showed sacrificial love for his friends, his sister, and especially for his father, Darth Vader. Luke's readiness to die for them is the key to the defeat of ultimate evil. Just like Jesus on the cross. There has been an awakening, says a character in The Force Awakens. Have you felt it? The dark side and the light? In the Gospel of Luke, there's an awakening as well, beloved church. God's Force comes into human life and challenges us to bear fruit worthy of repentance. It offers concrete examples of what it means to act with compassion and justice, feeding the hungry and avoiding extortion. It presents a Messiah who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire, offering us cleansing and inspiration so that we can behave with sacrificial love. You see, it isn't truly repentance without the goodness that follows. Let me repeat that for you. It isn't truly repentance without the goodness that follows. Have you seen it? Have you felt it? The dark side and the light? Each of us is challenged to open ourselves to God's Force and to receive the help of Jesus, the Messiah. With the aid of Jesus, we can walk in the light and provide coats to the homeless who are shivering in the cold of winter. We can offer food in neighborhoods to children whose lives who live in homes with empty refrigerators. We can behave ethically in our businesses, charging no more than what is right and fair. And we can turn to our Messiah Jesus for help when we need guidance in caring for other people and showing sacrificial love. The power of Star Wars is that it reaches millions of people and delivers the positive message to Christians, Jews, Muslims, atheists alike and beyond, both here in the United States and across the world. It is truly a phenomenon. It draws people together and it reminds all of us that we have a great deal in common despite our outside differences. When the biggest box office draw for 2015 is a Star Wars movie, said Bill Reedway, it means that the world is experiencing something uplifting and hopeful together. But God's own Force is also awakening today and in the months to come, beloved church. It is uplifting and hopeful, inspiring, and yes, challenging. This Force is not trapped in a galaxy far, far away, but it is transforming the world we live in, making us more caring and compassionate, selfless and sacrificial. This force is not only seen, it is not seen only in events that happened a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It is at work today in our homes, our schools, our churches, and our communities. God's force awakens most visibly in Jesus, the Messiah. The force is strong in Jesus, in God, and in all of us who follow the Holy Spirit in faith and obedience. Remember, in the words of Luke Skywalker, "I have that power. My father has that power. My sister has that power. You have that power too." This Christmas. This Christmas, let's turn our attention to the one true star in our lives. And let us share that light with everyone that we meet. Amen.